I have a friend whose father and stepmother go to a church that is regarded by many as a cult, but they use a ton of scripture. It's a quote-unquote denomination, and she's really been wrestling with it, you know, of the things that they are saying and how really they're backing it up with scripture, twisting the scripture for their purposes. It's really tricky. And, you know, obviously the best way for us to defend against that is just to know and invite the Holy Spirit into our discernment process.
Welcome to Study with Friends. This week, we start a new series on the book of Galatians and begin to uncover the message of this book is freedom in Christ. If you miss any part of this program or if you want to hear it again, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Galatians in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right corners to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Let's start in prayer.
God, thank you for this time. It's always so crazy to get to the table, and then we breathe it out and we breathe you in. And so just help us do that. God, help us to be still and know that you are here with us and that you are in everything we do, say, think, feel. You have the script already written, that you have plans for us and they are to prosper us and give us hope and a future. We thank you for that. God, I would just ask that you would specifically be in this conversation, the words, let the words of our mouths be pleasing to you, and that you would bless this work to multiply it among anyone who's listening, that you would increase your Holy Spirit throughout. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's quickly go around the table. I'm Holly, two children, teenage girls, a cat and a dog, a husband. I worship at a Presbyterian church and somewhat frazzled on a regular basis. That's like my constant state of being. So working on that. I'm working on the be still part. Maria?
Good morning. I am Maria and thankful to be here again today. I am currently at a Presbyterian church, but I have attended a variety of churches. So I'm a Christian and I will go where God leads me. I am married and have two teenage boys and someone like Holly, frazzled. I have a puppy with a new addition of a puppy. So now we have two puppies. So it's really exciting at our house.
All right. Good morning. I am Andrea. I have two little ones at home, two boys, kindergartner, and my other one is almost 3 years old, so my life is in a constant state of upheaval. Also a husband. I grew up Roman Catholic, was never hugely tied into my church, however, did my sacraments, did the things I had to do, but then completely got away from it. And after my kids were born, I decided that I wanted to bring a little bit more faith into their lives. So I started to kind of explore a little bit and found myself 3 years ago now, I attend a church called Restoration Church in Levittown. And it is by name called Converge, which I found out it is a evangelical church that they church plant. So it actually came from Grace Point in Newtown, which is a Southern Baptist church. So they're it's Christian, and they're very much about outreach and about reaching people who kind of fell away, I think, from Christianity and bringing them back to Jesus. And just recently this summer, I decided to get baptized again. So it's a lot of pretty cool things happening right now. And Holly likes me here because I like to ask the questions.
You do ask great questions.
Other people don't ask.
I'm Marilyn. I'm, as I say, the token senior in the group. I've been married 36 years and have no children. I'm a retired obstetrician gynecologist, and I spend my spare time caregiving for my older disabled brother.
Yeah, and also your church family.
And I was baptized and raised Presbyterian, still worship Presbyterian.
No church hopping for you?
Oh, I've hopped.
No denomination hopping for you?
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
You know that.
Not for any permanent time, but when searching, you know, when you move to a new venue, I've tried Lutheran and Methodist and I think even Episcopalian at one point.
Nice. But
I'm familiar with the Presbyterian form of government and liturgy, yeah. And
comfortable. Yeah. Today we're going to be studying Galatians. We're keeping on the same track of getting an overview of an entire book of the Bible and turning a little bit upside down the way that I typically teach, which is to really unpack deep details of God's Word. And we'll certainly find those nuggets through here. But what I'd like to do with these series of books we've done, Malachi and 1 John, what we've been doing with these books is getting a sense of the main message of the book. Actually, instead of coming to these sessions with everything buttoned up and you having done your homework and then you leave and you're done, what we'd like is for the listener to kind of consider what we're talking about and then go deeper and go study more on your own. So we're turning it upside down a little bit. And I hope that folks who are listening and are interested and are blessed by that will take some time and let us know on the website. We have a lot of places you can comment. You can go on studywithfriends.org. All the pages in the lower right-hand side have a search box. For this particular series, search freedom, type the word freedom, and you'll find this series. And then just comment to us. Let us know how God's teaching you beyond and above what we've done here today. So we're excited to hear from you. Please make sure you let us know you're listening. Are you out there? I wanted to say the last book we did was 1 John. Because it resounded with a lot of people when I explained this, I'm going to explain it again, even though we're not doing 1 John right now. All the books authored by John and some other books in the Bible, but for sure the John books, sometimes are difficult for us to read culturally because they're written in what's called a circular fashion. And that means that John will make a point and then leave it and then come back to it and then leave it and then come back to it. And he'll hit several points, but he does it again and again and again. And that was a style of writing at that time. It's very unfamiliar to us because culturally we all write for the most part in a linear way. Also, I really like to mention it because people get frustrated with the John writings. Revelation's obviously very difficult to read for a lot of reasons, but 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel of John, people can get frustrated. They feel like John is all over the place, and he is. But once you recognize, for example, the theme in 1 John was trust and obey, once you recognize there's a theme that he keeps coming back to, then you have an anchor and you can find your way through the book. And I want to equip people with that because I don't want you to feel like, ugh, this is, I can't, and then just move on. Because there's, of course, enormous blessings in those books. But now we're getting back to our more comfortable linear style. And so we'll approach it that way as well. I think as we read Galatians together, we will find Paul leads us to a foundational theme of freedom in Christ. So I'm going to frame it that way. We're going to look for that. And then we're going to talk about what that means. So we'll start with the first chapter and read Galatians 1, 6, and 7. Who has that?
I do. Okay. And I'm actually reading from New Living Translation.
Thank you.
No problem. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. That's Galatians 1, 6 through 7.
What do you guys think is the message of just those two verses? What's the message?
Paul's upset. He's upset that the Galatians have turned from what he said about the good news. They're going back to following the law and following their old ways.
Mm-hmm. And what's he saying about that?
He's asking them, what are you doing? Why are you, you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you following these others or listening to these others when you've heard it?
And specifically, my Bible is NIV, and it says in verse 7, this is really no gospel at all. And so I think that's the core message he's saying. That other people have thrown you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel, and that's no gospel at all.
Mm-hmm.
What are some alternative gospels that we hear in our time? If Paul lived today and was writing a letter to our culture, what do you think he would be specifically concerned about?
The first thing that came to my mind absolutely was salvation through works.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I grew up thinking. I just until recently have finally kind of come to the realization that it's not that at all, and it's through just believing in Christ alone, and that's it. No matter how many boxes that you check, no matter how often you attend service, no matter how much money you put in the plate, mm-hmm. there's nothing else that can do it besides faith alone in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Oops. You know what's great? I just have to say that I just love your journey, and I just love that you just said salvation through works, which is such a Christian expression. And I remember when you didn't talk about like that at all. You just didn't understand any of that jargon. You certainly didn't use any of it. And now you're like, well, the first thing I would say is salvation through works, which is theologically wrong. so great. I just love you, Andrea. I just been blessed by your journey. I just had to mention it. Okay. I'm like, well, you're going to have to explain what salvation through works means for the rest of the seekers who don't understand it, but you did a good job.
Oh, you're making me blush.
I know, but I love you. Okay. So what you're saying is any gospel, which is no gospel at all, that says you have to work for your salvation is people throwing you into confusion. That would be what Paul would say about that. Are there any other cultural, quote unquote, gospel messages that concern you, since you know that it's through Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone? What would concern you about culturally anything else going on, wrong gospels? Are there any that you can think of?
I have heard in recent days a gospel of prosperity, I like to call it. The idea that if you become a Christian, everything will be fine. God will prosper you in everything you do. You'll become rich. You'll become whatever. And that's not really what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. It's not what Jesus said. And we think that, you know, we shouldn't have to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a false gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It's appealing, though.
Yes.
The idea, it's so actually very tied into the American idea of work hard. And there's something so fundamentally human that's appealing about that to us, because we want to think that we have something to do with it. We want to know that we love control. We want control. And we want to feel like we can have some measure of control over our eternal destiny. And so the idea of work hard and God will bless you financially or whatever is appealing. So that makes it especially dangerous.
I went, when I saw the word alternative in our questions, I went to cult-ish kind of places. David Koresh comes to mind, Scientology, Latter-day Saints. There's so many of those other alternative ways of, I guess, I don't call them Christianity, but people that are, you know, gospels. And that's where I went with it.
Yeah. Which is also 100% true. There are churches that are so close. That's the danger when you're reading the scripture and you're using the scripture. I have a friend whose father and stepmother go to a church that is regarded by many as a cult, but they use a ton of scripture, and it's a quote unquote denomination, and she's really been wrestling with it, you know, of the things that they are saying and how really they're backing it up with scripture, twisting the scripture for their purposes. It's really tricky. And, you know, obviously the best way for us to defend against that is just to know and invite the Holy Spirit into our discernment process. There's two comments I want to make on your prosperity gospel. There's a Christian author who's actually quite controversial right now, so I'm not going to actually say her name because I don't want to necessarily align myself with her thinking otherwise. But she has said something in one of her books that I read that really resounded with me. And it was, if it's not true spiritually, if it's not true for a single mom in a third world country, it's not true, which I believe is 100% true. God's truth is true no matter what your financial circumstances, your cultural circumstances. God's truth is the truth. And so if she has no chance of moving financially out of her status in life, then her financial status in life can have nothing to do with the gospel. It just has nothing to do with the gospel. And it just brings it down to the lowest bar. We forget. We think about our capitalism and our work hard and our bootstraps, and we forget that there's an entire world out there who doesn't even have the option to work hard and pull up by bootstraps. It's just not an option. So that can't be a core thing that God's saying in his word.
You know what this made me think of, and I didn't think of it until just now. You're talking about an author and controversy and all that, and this made me kind of almost relate to the Galatians, where it is so easy to hear opinions and people backing things up with parts of scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you hear all these things, and especially someone like me who is just kind of figuring it all out, and I'll read the pages and I won't necessarily know what it's saying on the first time or second time or third time. And it's really easy to go down the wrong path and to start believing things that aren't truth. It's so easy. So the Galatians, they might have heard this from Paul, but then they're hearing from all these different directions, no, this isn't the way. This actually is the way. And even I was reading all these comments. Social media is going to be like the death of me, but I'm reading all these comments, probably on the same author, of people talking about why she's wrong, and then other people saying, no, she's right. And well, you can't interpret the Bible differently, but then you're hearing about it. Well, context of our time versus their time. Mm-hmm. And it starts to even make me be like, so wait a minute, what is the right answer? Mm-hmm. Oh, how do I know what the right answer is?
Praise God for the Holy Spirit.
It's hard though.
It is.
It's hard. And I'm so glad that you said that you relate to the Galatians, because that's exactly what was happening here. And I hadn't really written that down in our discussion guide to bring forth, but there was a group that was working on the Galatians. They were called Judaizers. And so what they were saying is, yes, by Christ, but first through the Jewish law.
Right.
And so it was a perverted gospel. It was twisted that it's either by Christ alone or it's not. Yes, it's by Christ alone, but also this. Well, then it's not by Christ alone. And they were using the scripture that they had at the time. Because remember, they didn't even have a lot of these books in the New Testament yet. And so the Judaizers were using Old Testament scripture to say, yes, he is the Messiah, but these rules still apply. This is God's word. You can't just ignore this. And that is that's a persuasive argument. And so I can see why. You'll see throughout the book of Galatians, Paul has a tone that he doesn't have elsewhere. He's almost, I mean, he's super frustrated and he's angry.
Yeah.
But he's almost, you can feel a frenzy in him. Like he's a little panicked. Like, you have to listen to me. You have to listen to me. You know, like, you're in danger right now. This is dangerous ground. So I love that you said that you can relate, because yes, we can. We can relate. And reminding us where the Galatians were at that time with what they had and what was being told to them, we totally can relate. That's great. The rest of chapter one, Paul really spends sort of affirming his discipleship. And that's important, because when you want somebody to listen to you, I think sometimes the first thing you need to do is justify why they should listen to you. So I think it's an interesting component of the book of Galatians, and sometimes comes across a little bit prideful. It almost sounds like he's saying, I deserve to be put on a pedestal. Aren't I so great? But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, here are the reasons why you should really listen to me and not to the other voices that you're hearing right now. So that's worth mentioning. He spends the rest of chapter one doing that. And then actually a good portion of chapter two as well. And so we're going to go into, let's look into chapter two. And talk about still the freedom message. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 15 and 16.
Galatians 2, 15 and 16. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Galatians 2, 15 and 16.
Sum up what you think Paul just said in your Galatians passage, Marilyn.
That it's faith in Jesus Christ that justifies us and that saves us, and not keeping the law.
Okay. Now, Maria, please read Acts 15, 1 through 11.
Okay, and I have Life Application Bible. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised in order to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." Acts 15, 1 through 11.
Okay, tell me what you think the message of that passage was, and then let's see if we agree that these two passages tie together and make one message.
I guess when he went there, they were telling him to follow the law. Peter's like, no, it is not about the law. It's about God. So don't put upon these individuals a burden that is not what God is telling them to do. Mm-hmm. To me, it'd be kind of stressful. I would be confused. Mm-hmm. So he's telling them to be circumcised and they don't need to be circumcised.
That's right.
So
yeah.
It's not about the law. It's about following God.
Right. Now, this conversation, both in the Acts, that's called the Council of Jerusalem, right? And in this passage of Galatians, they're speaking specifically about circumcision. But I think we can and should extrapolate it to the entire law.
Yes.
And that's not saying that there aren't parts of God's word that were considered law in the Old Testament that we should heed, because there are. But we aren't saved by them, which returns to what Andrea was saying. That's really the wrong thinking, that we're not saved by the actions that we do. We're saved by Christ alone and the action he did. So this is specifically about what? What is this? What are these two conversations specifically talking about?
The legalism.
More specific.
Circumcision.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it has to do with circumcision. And what freedom? So we don't, first of all, we're women. We don't live in that culture. And so what freedom can we extrapolate for ourselves? Or put differently, what are some of the laws that can become problematic? And I put laws in quotes, you know, about being righteous, like, oh, a good, he's a good person. She's a good person because X, Y, Z. And I want you to talk inside the church and outside of the church. What are some things that you think can trap us the way that the Galatians were trapped into thinking something we do is going to matter for our eternal salvation?
Drinking wine. Some people may say it's totally not of God. You should not have any alcohol.
That's true.
And I think some people take that to the extreme,
mm-hmm.
or can take it to the extreme, mm-hmm. or be confused. Am I not supposed to do this, or am I not supposed to do it?
Yeah. So what do you think is the right thing there?
I don't think either is. I think it's all about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me to tell somebody what to do.
Yeah. So there are, when you say that, I think about some denominations who do have like rules.
No dancing.
Rules.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily what we, okay, our Bible nerd word for the day, how we end up giving one, last time it was exegesis, is salvific, which means it's not something that can save you.
Right.
So these are, in some ways, you can have some guidelines that lead you on the path of sanctification to become more like Christ. And they're good guidelines. I can think of one that is, I think we'd all agree on, which is like not swearing all the time. Use your mouth in a respectful way. That's not super controversial. Most people would agree that's a good thing to do, but it's not salvific.
Right.
We can have something simple or something super complex. Like this was very complex for them. Circumcision was a really complex issue for them. And then they got into all the other, like what foods are okay to eat and mm-hmm. all of that. And that was very complicated for them. And it's okay to observe certain guidelines if that's how you express your sanctification process. But we just have to bear in mind they do not save you.
Right.
So the drinking of wine, some people choose not to do that. I respect that. Mm-hmm. The Bible, I think, completely warns that you are not to be drunk. It took me a while to sort that out. And I think that's a personal thing, because if I lose my way, then maybe I'm a person who just shouldn't. If I don't know my limits, then maybe I should just not. But that's personal. And that's my sanctification process. And God's working that out in me, you know? So that's a good one. Not salvific. I'll spell it for you later.
We're so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not quite ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. Please consider prayerfully to help us financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. And we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of Galatians. See you next time on Study with Friends.